Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating US Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hello and welcome to the Gridiron Show. Will Gavin Ollie Hunter coming live from Stamford Stadium in the Southern Bay Area. I'm really cold. It was much warmer and nicer in the press box, Ollie.
It was much warmer and nicer, but I bought myself a hat and a Christian McCaffrey jersey.
You look like the most ridiculously overly decked out person. Considering that there's about 10,000 people in this 50,000-seater stadium tonight, look like the biggest fanboy of all.
I'm up there. I'm right up there. However, I'm not the worst person in this stadium. And that happens to be the mascot, which is probably the worst mascot I have ever seen. He's worse than the boiler.
Is he worse than the Frozone and Mr. Incredible, who are wacky and in amongst the band?
No, they're great in comparison. The mascot for Stamford Cardinal, not Cardinals, the Cardinal.
Fear the tree.
It's the tree. It's just a man dressed as a tree with a top hat on. What?
Amazing. But still, there's an atmosphere going. Stamford are 34-14 up on Oregon State. It's the first game of our tour. Tomorrow night we're going to be at Chargers at Raiders at the Oco, and then on Monday night we go down to Levi's for 49ers Giants. Yep, we love to go to the very best games on the Gridiron Tour in association with Touchdown Trips. Coming up on this show, basically, we're going to hear briefly from Matt Sherry, who with the other guys was at Steelers Panthers on Thursday night. A statement win for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, absolutely. They ran riot over the Panthers defense, who just had no answer. The only saving grace, I guess, for the Panthers was that Christian McCaffrey, who's a hero in these parts, he scored three touchdowns, had a great day in fantasy.
Yeah, but if you score three touchdowns and lose by 31 points as a running back, you've got to be pretty angry about the world.
You have to be absolutely livid. I have a feeling, had they won, and this wasn't an evening game, and there were more tickets sold, I reckon he'd probably be here.
Yeah, that's probably a good shout.
Yeah, but as it is, they were smashed, probably back in the facility, having to look over what they did wrong Sunday and Monday, and that doesn't mean he who must not be named. Someone just said
We need to discuss two things. Firstly,
go on.
We need to discuss Nick, who's one of the guys on the tour, who is wearing VFL. It's got to be what, like, sorry, 1 degree out here, and he is
1 degree. What are you talking about?
It's like
you,
10 degrees.
You absolute clown.
And he is wearing shorts. It's a terrible choice.
Yeah.
And also, can we talk about the coolest dressed person in this entire stadium?
Me.
No, it's not you. It's the kid four rows in front of us who's wearing a bucket hat, sunglasses at 8 o'clock at night, and a gilet as if it was from Back to the Future, like a bright red one. That's the coolest person in the whole stadium.
And he's probably about 6-7 years old, if that. But he's loving life.
It's cool AF. He is cool AF. Right. And we're going to preview the weekend's games. It's going to be a little bit of a brief one. Yeah. We are. How are we doing?
The Gridiron Show.
But you're getting asked if we're doing a podcast by some locals.
That was great.
I think stunned that we're British more than anything else.
Now we're getting stared out by the kid. He's wearing a Michigan hoodie.
What a guy. That's the coolest person in the entire stadium, that kid.
That's
there.
Amazing.
He literally just stared us down. That was glorious.
That was great.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow.
We're never going to get through this. This is going to be an absolute mess. But we've got to put something out, because later in the show we need to bring you Warren from RedZoneSports.bet, talking you through the weekend's games on TV. So that's coming up for you shortly. Firstly, let's hear from Matt Sherry.
Hot chocolate!
Hot chocolate, you say? We're going to get a hot chocolate while you listen to Matt Sherry talk about Panther Steelers.
Coming at you, Will, from rural Ohio. It's 2:20 a.m. in the morning. We've got an eerie setting and a fairly horror movie looking pickup truck in front of us, but we soldier on and we head to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, having witnessed an absolute blowout for the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday Night Football. It was a game that we thought was going to be close, and we thought was going to be an awesome game after the first drive, which the Carolina Panthers took straight down the field, got up 7-0. The natives weren't happy. We watched that one outside in the stadium, and fair to say they were restless at that point. But, you know, the home team within 13 seconds of game action had taken a 14-7 lead, incredibly. I mean, first offensive play for the Steelers, a 75-yard touchdown pass to Juju Smith-Schuster. And then on the ensuing drive, a Cam Newton pick six with one of the worst plays, truly, of his career. It was a dreadful throw from Cam, and really the turning point of the game. From that point on, the Steelers really dominated, and the victory was theirs. Put a 50-burger on Carolina. And you have to think Pittsburgh are rolling now. I mean, they got the big divisional win against Baltimore on Sunday, and the Steelers just seem... chatting with the lads after the game, we were saying we think the Steelers are right in that mix now with Kansas City and New England as the teams to beat in the AFC, and I think they've shown that. And it's going to be fascinating to see how the next few days play out in Pittsburgh, because Le'Veon Bell is back in the city, but is he going to be back on the team? And you wonder whether does Le'Veon Bell coming back into that locker room upset the mix that they've created there, because this Steelers team looks more disciplined. The defence has grown by the week. Liam spoke to TJ Watt a little after the game, and he's been really impressive this year in his second season. And you got a vibe around the Steelers that they feel like they're really rolling now. New offensive coordinator, that scheme's starting to work. We saw Todd Haley hold them back for several years, and we know he's out in Cleveland now. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great night for the Steelers. Dreadful one for the Panthers, who, I mean, you have to think their divisional hopes were really hurt by that tonight. The Saints are absolutely rolling in that division, and it might be that the Panthers are playing for a wild card spot now. But, yeah, it was a great night for Pittsburgh, and really sets off the NFL weekend nicely with one of the dominant powerhouse teams putting together a great performance. Enjoy the trip, fellas, and we will check in soon.
Here we go. Oh, quite excited. I thought we were going to get a long touchdown, because what this game needed was Stanford to go further than 20 points already ahead with still a minute 20 left to go in the second quarter. This is going to be an absolute blowout. The tight end, by the way, I wish I still had my
Colby.
I've got it here.
Colby something.
It's going to happen. I'm going to actually bring it to you live. I'm going to look at the right team first, and it's a Colby Parkinson. Four touchdowns on the day already.
Four?
He's 6 foot seven. And Ollie is convinced he's NFL ready right now.
And it's got nothing to do with recency bias or the fact that we're watching him destroy OSU.
It's not a high estate, by the way.
No, it's not. It's really not.
Right. Thank you, Matthew Sherry. Thank you, Simon Clancy. Well, it's just Matthew Sherry. Simon Clancy was too busy being salty, wearing a giant scarf somewhere and being angry about us commenting on it.
It's a giant scarf.
So
go to the Gridiron
UK
Instagram.
Gridiron.
Yeah.
And enjoy it, because it's well worth a look. Right. Let's talk about these games this weekend. I'd say let's talk about the games that we're starting with, but let's talk first about the 6 o'clock games, or the 10 a.m. games, as it is where we are now.
I still can't get over that.
you can't get over time difference.
No.
You've left the country before, right?
Yeah, I know, but the fact that there
We've been to this city together before.
Yeah, but not during the NFL regular season. So it's blowing my mind that there are games at 10 a.m.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's a glorious thing. Now, the problem is the rank of 6 games this weekend isn't the strongest slate we've seen in a while.
There is one good game.
Go on then, what do you think is the
one
good game?
No, two, there are two good... No, three. two and a half.
I mean, that's a real stretch. I see one good game.
New Orleans at Cincinnati.
Yeah, New Orleans at Cincinnati.
And
Cincinnati are a weird one.
Yeah.
They are 5-2, but I really don't think that they are indicative of a proper 5-2. They don't look... Oh, 6-2? 5-3. They're 5-3.
Yeah.
They don't look like a 5-3 team by any stretch of imagination. Based on yards allowed, they're the worst defense in the NFL. And they've got to go up against the New Orleans Saints and all of those weapons, minus Dez Bryant and his Achilles injury.
Gutting,
of course.
That's really gutting, man.
I mean, it's gutting for Dez Bryant and maybe for the New Orleans Saints. For those of us who were never enamored by the man, I'm not sure it's that gutting.
Well, no, but you never want to see someone get hurt just when they've made a return to football. You don't want to see that. You wouldn't wish injury on anyone.
I think the Saints are going to go there and batter them. I really,
really
do. Coming off the back of winning at the Rams. I know that they are a proper attritional team, the Cincinnati Bengals, but I honestly think they're going to go there and absolutely hammer them. I don't see any other outcome.
Oh, I think this is going to be a close game, but the Saints have such momentum at the moment. They've won every game away. Drew Brees has won every game outside, which I know he had not the best game against the New York Giants, but they still won. I think it's going to be a closer game, though. But I'll take the Saints. I'll take the Saints.
Right, let's talk about Bills Jets. Because
This is the matchup, the QB matchup to end.
That we've all been waiting for.
All QB matchups.
Have you lot seen who's starting at quarterback in the Bills Jets game? Matt Barkley against Josh McCown. How do we feel about
great
that?
Work, Nick.
This is the greatest. Yeah, there you go. See, Richard Richardson has told us that that's top core talent. Richard Madden, who has an actual John Madden in his family, and didn't tell us that when we first met him. And I didn't remember his name for like 5 days. Amazing. I don't want to talk about that game. I think the Bills go there and win.
Oh, really? I think the Jets win.
Well, there you go. We'll talk about that game.
That's our analysis.
That's that game
of that.
Covered. Washington heads to Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers. I mean, actually, in terms of record, this isn't a terrible game on paper. But
I take it back. This is a pretty good game. No, although Washington's defense is so banged up right now,
and their offensive line's a mess.
They can't get Jordan Reed the ball. Alex Smith is the most average, middling quarterback in the entire league.
I think that's being kind. And I think they're going to win in Tampa Bay.
No,
I
believe in whoa, Fitzmagic, you know.
I'm glad you sung that over this tripe. Well, it's got the kids dancing on the screen, so that's the main thing.
That's cool.
33 seconds left in the second quarter, still 34-14.
Why has that kid come to here with a Seahawks jersey on?
The one that's... Oh, he's tying his shoelace. I thought he was crying.
He also just gobbed right in front of him.
Oh, it's because it's a Doug Baldwin jersey.
Oh.
Stanford alumni
Makes
Doug
sense.
Baldwin.
Yeah, okay,
there
cool.
you go. See? We figured it out. We are both the brains and the brawn of this operation. Look, Washington are an interesting team because you know how when we did the Jags game at Wembley?
Yep.
2 weeks ago now? You remember how we were astounded that there hadn't been a single lead change in a Jags game before that game?
Yeah.
There still hasn't been a single lead change in a Washington game this season. Oh, that's a tipped pick, and it has been returned, and they could have gone all the way then. Oregon State with a chance to close this down to a 13-point game going in the half now.
Oh, that's exciting.
So you're saying there's a chance?
There is a chance. They've got 20 seconds to do something.
Yeah,
they're at their own 39. No, the Stanford 39.
If they do something,
you'll hear it first.
So there is
right here on the Gridiron Show.
On this podcast that you're maybe listening to on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Washington haven't had a single lead change in a game yet this season. That's only happened a handful of times in NFL history. And it's never been more than 10 games that's happened for. So you do feel like if they can go to Tampa Bay and get a lead, that they know how to grind that out.
Yeah.
And you look at the Adrian Peterson stats for games that they've led in versus games that they've been behind in. And the games that they've led, they have been dominant on the ground. In the games they've lost in, where the ball has gone into Alex Smith's hand, they've been dreadful.
Yeah, and also Adrian Peterson sometimes hasn't got going. So that's when they're really, really hamstrung. I like the Buccaneers in this. As I sang earlier, Fitzmagic is back with all of those weapons around him, and OJ Howard is now stepping up to being the guy that we all thought he would be when he was first drafted, coming out of, was it Florida State?
I think he was.
So the Bucs, with the pirate ship in their building, I believe that they will beat the Washington Football Club.
The Cardinals go to the Chiefs. The Chiefs win.
Chiefs win big. We've discovered on this tour that a lot of people don't like Josh Rosen.
Really? I haven't discovered that.
I've spoken to a lot of people here. As a person, they don't like it. Not as a QB. Yeah.
So, I didn't know that. I mean, I'm not suggesting he's in any way likable, but I just didn't know that people...
No, people
actively people can't told you they didn't like him.
They can't warm to him.
All right. I'm good with that. Right, there's a third down. So now... The guys behind us are going to make a load of noise. 11 seconds left in the half. And they're taking a timeout, so we can carry on. The Jacksonville Jaguars go to the Indianapolis Colts. The Jags at 3-5. The Colts at 3-5. Who would have seen that?
This is last chance saloon, isn't it?
Absolutely last chance saloon for Blake Bortles, for Doug Marrone, for that Jags defense to prove themselves. And the Colts are a team in the ascendancy. The defense looks much, much better. The front seven is holding teams. Andrew Luck, after, remember when Jacoby Brissett threw that through the Hail Mary?
Yeah.
And we were all like, oh, that's it, Andrew Luck's done.
No,
he's basically
weren't.
Been superb in the next four games.
We weren't all like
I don't
that.
Mean Andrew Luck's done, but I mean, people were talking about his arm strength.
There were a lot of people questioning whether he could still throw it long. I wasn't one of those, but...
No need to show off, Ollie.
Well, I'm just... You were trying to put words in my mouth, and I didn't like it. A bit like you were trying to put chocolate eclairs in my mouth earlier. Did not like it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, caught it. Have they called a timeout?
They have. 5 seconds
I know,
left.
There's different rules in college,
down
isn't there?
To the 21, 22.
The clock stops until they get there.
Yeah, well, they've still called a timeout.
Yeah, okay. But the Colts, I think, have been unlucky in quite a few games. They've played hard in quite a few games that they've lost as well. I think they'll win. I don't think it's going to be a dominant performance, but I think they'll get the victory against the Jags, because the Jags, there's something not quite right with what's going on within that Jacksonville Jaguars organisation. Leonard Fournette, I'm not sure whether he's been managed properly or whether he... whether his injury is as serious as it potentially should be.
Sorry, that kid in front of us is now flossing, but he's flossing in a way that makes flossing look cool, which I didn't think was possible, but apparently it is. Are they settling for the field goal?
Yeah.
They're down by 20 points, 5 seconds left, first down on the 22. Take one shot at the end zone, just get the ball out quick. Oh, unbelievable. I'm livid with this decision. Apologies for any language you might have heard, but that was a field goal to take us to the half. 34-17 Stanford. Sorry, you were saying? Colts are the better team in this game.
Colts are a better team, and I expect
them
to win.
That's amazing. They've not got the more talent, but they're better coached. Frank Reich is doing a really good job. They're clearly not the better talented team, but I'm going to go for a Jags on the road.
Okay.
I think with the week off, with a week to get healthy... I just think that desperate. I think there is a real. It's a real thing about teams who are in desperation, who need.
Sure.
So I'm going to say it. I think the Jags win.
I don't think the Colts have been in desperation. Whatever they do is a bit of a bonus.
I also like that we're going against each other as well. I also like that Josh asked who that was. When I sent you the picture of you in the Christian McCaffrey jersey
of who
and
was.
Hat. Josh Peacock of Gridiron fame asked who you were. Simon Clancy just arrived at Timmy with Ollie.
He's an absolute clown.
He is an absolute clown.
Not Clancy, but Josh.
The Lions go to the Chicago Bears, which, on paper, with the records involved and the NFC North and everything else in that, you look at it and you think, yeah, this is a good game on paper. The Lions have not been good in recent weeks. Kerryon Johnson has been a rare bright spark in an offense where Matthew Stafford is holding the ball for too long. The offensive line that looked so strong in the first 4 or 5 weeks, like a completely improved unit, has now fallen back off a cliff. The defense, outside of maybe Darius Slay, who's had a few good games, really haven't impressed. Their linebacking core might be one of the worst in the NFL, considering they've invested high picks in there and the likes of Jared Davis as well. And the Chicago Bears coming to this game, having just given Khalil Mack 2 games off and winning them back-to-back. I think you know what direction I'm going with this. Lions win.
And I agree with you. The Lions win. I clearly wasn't listening in
really
any way.
Glad you're
and I agree with you that the Chicago Bears will win. The Bears will win this. Easy.
Right, now the guy on the mic's talking really loud, so we might have to wait.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Come back while some guy is doing some
field goal
competition. He's hitting one from... They're what? From what? 20, 25 and 30.
Yeah.
I guess if he nails all of them, I don't know. He gets his tuition paid or something. Come on, Andy. First one. Oh, I think it's good. I thought I was going to go wide left at first. Okay. Did pretty well there. Oh, he's got terrible hair, though. He's got a ponytail through the back of the cap. That's a bad choice.
When you've got hair, to do something like that with it is a disgrace.
He got a prize pack. Now for the second ball. He will get a signed ball, signed by the entire team, apparently. That's a lot of signatures. He's through. He's put his leg through. It's gone left again, but it's through again. He's kind of scooping these kicks.
His technique is dreadful.
Truly dreadful.
He looks a bit like Matt Sherry trying to kick it.
Right, here we go. Season tickets for 2019 on the line. It's a 30-yard field goal. He's taken three steps back, two to the left. It looks like he's been practicing this. Stands square onto the ball. Comes right. Oh, and he's absolutely wanged it. He has completely. That was legitimately dreadful. Legitimately dreadful. How great's the tour been so far? We've only been here for 24, maybe 30 hours. We've been out. We had a great night out last night.
Great
went
night.
To some very odd bars. Got very drunk.
Will went from the most excitable person on the planet in about 5 minutes to falling asleep in the bar. It was I've not seen anything like it ever.
I've never hit a wall quicker in my life.
So I was like, right, let's go.
So I'm really glad you did that as well, because I might have tried to stick around. I'm really glad I didn't. I was a mess.
Me and Gurney were just... We were so tired. Just so tired.
So tired. But again, a great group. The people have come back. So many people have come back from last year. All really sound. And then the new additions have been fantastic. Like, everyone's really interacting well. Only about 15 of the group have come to the Stanford game, but everyone's going to the NFL games. It's been wonderful. Right. The marching band are now out, which means we're definitely going to have to stop and take a break during this.
Yeah,
look how many of them are dressed up. Look how there's Frozone, there's Mr. Incredible, there's the terrible tree.
Stupid. Get off!
It looks like it looks like an awful Mighty Boosh character.
Get out, tree.
Oh, God.
I hate that tree.
Right, we're going to take a break while the marching band go.
Yeah, you suck, tree.
And then we're going to come back and look forward to the rest of the games and get the latest odds with the guys from RedZoneSports.bet.
The situation in the Pacific is worse than reported.
The Japanese are planning something big.
What's the target?
Midway.
From the director of Independence Day.
A couple dozen planes against all Japanese fleet.
We got the order to launch!
Discover the incredible true story.
Today we're going to be underdogs.
Of the World War II battle.
Good luck, boys.
Fire!
Midway. Download and keep now.
Right, so the marching band are done. You're back with the Gridiron Show, by the way. The marching band are done. Still to come, we'll preview all of the late games, including the games we're going to.
I really hate that tree.
Honestly, that marching band was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Why did we stop for that?
I don't know. It's the music they're playing in stadium is so much louder. And now the tree is up on the screens advertising recycling. How much are you hating it? Like, it looks, someone pointed out, it looks like a man covered in air fresheners.
Yeah, it's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Ollie literally spent the entire of half time shouting, "Boo you tree," while children around him looked sad.
Get off, tree!
Yeah. Oh, you're a terrible
Sorry.
Man.
Sorry. Oh, where were we? Weird.
I'm really cold. What?
Where were we with the games?
I don't remember. Here we go.
Why did you say I'm really cold?
Bears. We Bears, did the Bears. Yeah. We picked the Bears. Right. Patriots at Titans. Heading to the South. I mean, at this point, I don't think the Patriots are going to lose another game this season. After the way they steamrolled you in the fourth quarter, just put their foot on your neck and crushed the Green Bay Packers' windpipe. It was an utter mauling in the fourth quarter. And it was the fact that, thanks to coaching, they knew they didn't have a good enough offense. They knew they had the less talented team. And yet they brought out every trick player in the book. And then you compare it to the Titans, who, from a play-calling perspective, consistently get way too conservative in the red zone, consistently just don't put enough points on the board. I just think the Patriots are going to go in there and beat them. I hope that they don't, because I think it makes the AFC more interesting if they're not at home in the playoffs. But I think the Super Bowl goes through Foxborough.
There's an awful lot that I agree with there. Do you know what? Probably everything. But from a Titans perspective, what they did to the Cowboys. Okay, it's the Cowboys offense, which isn't great. But the Cowboys defense has been pretty good this season. And Marcus Mariota looks really, really good. And they were doing some interesting things, different looks, different ways of playing. I quite like the Titans in this, and I think it's going to be quite close. I'm going to go the Patriots, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Titans shot them, because I think the Titans are on a little bit of a roll. So I'm going Patriots, but have a look out for them Titans.
Dem Titans. The Atlanta Falcons, off that 38-14 win in Washington last week, faced the Cleveland Browns side, who were... they didn't get mauled by Kansas City. The quality difference really showed between the two teams. But actually, like, for as much as Greg Williams is a terrible human being, at least as a team, they looked a bit more organised. At least as a team, they weren't making stupid play calling decisions. At least they weren't throwing games away. They were just outclassed by a much better team. I kind of expect the same to happen against the Falcons, who are looking much healthier, got up to 4-4, are going to feel better about the fact that the Panthers got thrashed in midweek. That really opens up the opportunity for them to slip into one of those wild card spots. Also helps your Packers buddy in a big, big way. But I just think, yeah, I think the Browns, again, it will be another loss where they've been, an admirable loss. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they're playing hard. That's something that you could potentially say former Cleveland Browns teams didn't do, especially last season, the season before that as well. I like the Falcons in this game. Matt Ryan was really, really good last week. Really good. And with Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith in the backfield as well, finally getting Julio Jones the ball in the touch in the end zone, finally getting a touchdown. I think the Falcons will be far too strong. I think it could be a 15 or so, maybe a 15-20 point or so victory.
We just got a photo taken of us by Connor off the tour while we're sat here doing a freezing cold podcast. The teams are back out for the second half, by the way. Still 34-17 to the Cardinals. You know, people want these live updates, Ollie. They're desperate for it. I tweeted about the quarterback matchup in the Bills-Jets game. And Andy came back on Twitter, who I like Andy a lot, at Andy Gilder, said, I'd say there are more tier one quarterbacks in the league right now than any time since he started watching in the early 80s. He lists Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Ryan, Rivers, Goff and Roethlisberger. Interesting that Goff's in there. I mean, he's doing MVP level numbers this season. But I think you can also add Russell Wilson into that. Andrew Luck, Deshaun Watson,
100%.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, come on, of course.
Kirk Cousins.
Ooh.
Carson Wentz.
Cousins hasn't been good the last 2-3 weeks.
That's 13 teams. Plus, if you throw in someone like Matt Stafford, who's clearly a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
And then even if he's not been brilliant this year. And then you also throw in the rookies. Then
Ryan Fitzmagic as well.
The number of teams who already know have their starting quarterback. They look like a good starting quarterback. And the number of tier one starting quarterbacks, I think, is at 12, maybe even 13. For as much as we're whinging about it, Matt Ryan has been playing brilliantly. And I think I maintain that we are going to be in the best era of overall quarterback play.
And when we heard Peter King on the Talk Sports show last week, he was speaking to Max Whittle out in Foxborough. And he said, Max asked him, is this your favourite time to cover football? And Peter King said, yeah, it's the best period of football he's ever had, because the quarterbacking play and the overall play is just on such a high level. All right, the rule changes have helped that, but we're so lucky to have so many good quarterbacks. I'm loving the quarterbacks at the moment. All right, you get some duds, but you'll get that in any league of any sport around the world.
I think when people look back to previous eras, they overrate the quarterback position. I think if you've ever had more than 3, 4, 5 top tier quarterbacks, I think you've been lucky. And right now, I think you've got 12, maybe 13.
Which is amazing.
Right, let's move on to the late games. Chargers at Raiders, our game. So Dem Los Angeles Chargers, 5 wins in a row, 6-2, very much moving into that, for me, third position in the AFC, behind the Chiefs, behind the Patriots, and with every chance to overtake the Chiefs. If the rest of the season could easily break in their direction. They have a series of absolute cupcakes coming up in the next few weeks, including going to Oakland, which we're at, home to the Broncos, which we're at. They're going to get Bosa back in a couple of weeks' time as well, maybe for that Broncos game. legitimately, I couldn't be more excited to see this Chargers team in the postseason. Philip Rivers, you were talking about Peter King on TalkSport the other day. Philip Rivers was on the Peter King podcast this past week talking about, you know, he went to the AFC Championship game, played through a torn ACL in that game, lost to the Patriots, but everyone said to him at the time, it's fine, you'll be back, you'll get more opportunities. He's never been back again. This is the year the Chargers could go deep in the playoffs. And finally, after 3 years of us going, I really like the Chargers this year, we're doing it at the right time. Love them Chargers. I think they're going to go, and unfortunately for the Raiders fans in this group, are going to hammer them.
I mean, we've been hedging our bets with the Chargers, and finally it's paying off. I love the Chargers. Their defense is actually a really underrated unit, led by Melvin Ingram, who is one of my favorite players in the league.
What I'd like to see this week, we talked about them maybe rotating more interesting blitz looks and stuff like that. And when we talked to Derwin James, I'd like to see them do more of that this week. They have relied on the quality of their pass rush too much recently. I think when they go up against better teams, they're going to have to do more up front. I mean, maybe they don't do it against the Raiders, because against that pair of tackles, they probably don't need to. But I would like to see them. I'd like to see them bring Derwin James out of the backfield and get some of them sacks. I mean, we could go and talk to Derwin James after the game, and it'll be the third time we talk to him in a month.
I think he'd love it as well. It will really support. Surprising. I bang on about it every week. I really dislike the way the Raiders are playing and who's in charge of them. And I hope they get smashed. I honestly, 30, 40 points would make me happy legitimately.
Yeah, 100%. Next, Seahawks-Rams. What a game. What a game this is.
Oh.
Did we just get a Seahawks chant from behind us?
Yeah, disgraceful. Disgusting, in fact.
Seahawks in love for a change.
No.
No, absolutely not. You're wearing shorts, Nick. Go away. It's freezing out here. What is your problem? I completely forgot that we agreed to go on a tour, which would take in CenturyLink Field. So there'd be so many Seahawks fans here. Oh, Ollie, it's devastating.
It's really upsetting. The Rams.
I might wear my 49ers jersey on Thursday
just
for the game.
Just do it.
That doesn't work too well in audio, but I just gave the fingers to
the Rams.
Oregon are on the charge here, by the way. They're up to the 30-yard line.
Oh, yeah. How did that happen?
They could pull it to within 10. Just saying.
There's a chance.
Laundry all over the field, of course,
look,
there is.
The Rams are so much fun to watch. Todd Gurley is in... He must be in the conversation for
MVP
because
100%.
The way he's playing. And
as is Jared Goff.
He pretty much on his own, along with Sean McVay, won that game against Green Bay. It's all about momentum at this point in the season, and they've got a lot of momentum, and week on week they want to carry that through. The Seahawks, they won last week. It was against the poor Lions team. They're going up against a really, really...
They didn't win last week. That was 2 weeks ago. They lost to the Chargers last week.
Oh, of course they did. Yeah.
But they could. But they could have won that game.
They could have won
that
game.
They had opportunities late, but they weren't the better team. The Chargers' offense really took its foot off the gas in the second half. But I don't want to put down a Seahawks defense who, despite losing absolutely everyone bar the linebackers, has still managed to put in performances.
Yeah, they are.
And Pete Carroll, a man that we don't give probably enough love to, deserves a shout for how well he's been playing. Oh, I saw Oregon State now after I've seen the way that man dances.
Oh, that's
with
great.
His nachos in one hand, he's got hot dogs in the other hand, and he is having the best time.
He's definitely a former player as well.
Yeah, oh, yeah, look at the size of that
look
neck.
Look at him moving.
There's no way. Oh, what a guy. Get him on camera. This man on camera now.
Wait for it.
Oh,
I just... Oh, time out. Yeah.
The tongue's out as well. The twerk felt like a step too far, I'm not going to lie. The twerk definitely felt like a step too far.
That was superb.
What a man.
That was great.
Somebody go and shake his hand. We can't because the mic lead isn't long enough, but he deserves it. I don't know where that hand's been, but he deserves to have it shaken either way. You should go and tell the Seahawks fan down there that we've been giving him some love to his team. I think that the...
This game, these two teams always run each other close. Regardless of the way they've been playing in the season so far. I remember the Rams shot the Seahawks a couple of years ago when the Rams were dreadful. The Seahawks were on the ascendancy, but the Rams, it is a really...
That game in St. Louis where they ran all those the special teams plays.
There was that one. There was the first year when they moved to Los Angeles. It's always a really, really tough game to call. I think the Rams just about do it, but it'll be within three or four points.
I'm not going to lie, I'm going to have Game Pass open in the press box whilst watching Chargers Raiders, also watching this game, because it's going to be great.
Yeah.
What's next? Ollie, what else haven't we talked about yet? It's got very quiet in here. I think it's because they're on the charge. Oh, yeah, I remember what game we still haven't talked about. The game that Sherry and Clancy and Josh and everyone else. Who else is on the tour? I mean, I've missed someone. Liam Blackburn, the game that they're at.
Was it Saints Bengals?
It's Dolphins. And no, we talked about Saints Bengals.
Did we?
It's Dolphins in Green Bay to face the Packers.
Sorry, yeah.
Right, so the Packers coming off back-to-back losses in games that they could have won against teams coaching-wise who are much better than them. Talent-wise are probably a little better than them. At least one of them is. This is the ultimate, you know, get healthy game facing a Dolphins team who, after that 3-0 start, really haven't looked like a particularly good team.
The Dolphins flattered to deceive massively. Green Bay, they've played probably the two out of the three best teams in the NFL right now. They have to win this game.
The Dolphins, let's not forget, won last week against the Jets, but they've never looked more anemic on offense in a win. That was one of the ugliest games of football I think I have ever seen in my life. Third down, shot down this side. That's a great grab, but did he go down?
No.
I thought he had that then. I thought that was a great grab. So it's going to be another kick. It's just going to be a 14-point game if this goes through. I love that people don't care about this at all, but I'm still going to do it. I'm taking the Packers in a blowout at home.
Yeah, I hope that happens.
Cowboys-Eagles, Sunday night football. We're not there doing talk sport. Ollie Wilson and Greg Brady will have it for you. And I'm kind of pleased, because this isn't the game I wanted when I saw these two teams were going to be going head-to-head in Sunday Night Football at the start of the season. I feel like going in hard on the Cowboys again, it'll be harsh, because I did it pretty badly earlier in the week. But you've got two teams trending in very different directions. One who obviously are the reigning Super Bowl champions. One who, despite having the second most Super Bowl victories tied alongside the 49ers, haven't won it in 23 years, have looked generally pretty awful throughout most of that stretch, need a top-to-bottom reorganisation. If the Eagles don't win this game, it's going to have meant that they have done something special in the last 7 days.
Yeah, I'd be astounded if the Eagles don't win this. What's helping the Eagles' offence is there's no Sean Lee, of course, again. He always seems to be out at one of every three games at least. I think the Eagles will trounce the Cowboys, actually. It'll be a big statement win. And to go probably level with the Washington Football Club and then to usurp them in the coming weeks. And I think the Eagles are going to the playoffs.
Yeah, 100%. Right, it's just Monday Night Football to talk about now. In San Francisco at Levi Stadium, Giants, 49ers. It's not a great matchup. Nick Mullins, future Hall of Famer, under centre for the 49ers.
Are you going to get his jersey?
Against Eli Manning. No, I'm going to get a George Kittle jersey if I can find one big enough. Or a DeForest Buckner if I can't find a George Kittle one.
You should be able to find a big enough one.
Look, I fully expect the 49ers to beat them, but I'll be almost a little bit disappointed that we're going to go on to three wins for the season.
Yeah.
Because I really want Nick Bosa at this point now for some edge rush. But the 49ers are going to be picking high. The Giants are going to be picking even higher if they don't take a quarterback this time. They're idiots, and we can talk more about this game on Tuesday after we've been there.
Yeah. 49ers for me. I think that the Giants coaching staff don't have what it takes to figure out Nick Mullins, so I'm definitely going to take the 49ers.
Brilliant stuff. Are they going for it? I can't.
Why is the lighting changed in here?
Is that a turnover? Why was that a turnover?
Oh, turnover and downs.
Oh, right, they went for a fourth down. Sorry. Yeah, that was weird. I didn't realise that. I didn't realise they'd gone for on fourth. Probably the right decision.
Bryce Love looks really good. The Stanford Cardinal running back, he'll go definitely in the first round.
Heisman Trophy candidate last year. Hasn't had as good a season this season.
Some people have got him as the number three running back, others number two. He looks really, really good. Breaks tackles, finds the edge well. He's good north to south as well. I like him.
He's playing a pretty bad football team, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, Ollie, that kind of wraps us up. I'm glad we managed to do this while we were outside in the cold, and hopefully people will listen to it on Sunday morning before the games.
Technically, it's our first ever live podcast. with the audience of three behind us.
Well, with the audience of 10,000.
Yeah. I'm taking that.
Yeah, 100%. So, otherwise, thank you very much for listening. We'll head to Warren from redzonesports.bet for the latest odds. But, Ollie, firstly, any final thoughts?
No, I'm going to go and raid the Stanford Cardinals shop again.
Well, I'm going to head up back to the press box and drink lots of free hot drinks.
Let's do that.
See you later. So, with a slight change of scenery, you may have noticed that we're not recording this in an airport or on a bus or wherever me and Ollie end up doing this this podcast this week. Let's get the odds for the televised games this weekend with our friends at redzonesports.bet. Wazza kicking things off with the early game, which is a tasty one. The Saints, they've taken that unbeaten streak from the Rams, but the Bengals haven't been an easy place to go this season.
Yep, first of all, I'd like to give myself a pat on the back for picking the Saints to win the game last week. I think this, you know, if you think, oh, I've got messages going off on my phone, can you hear that? I've got this as a potential trap game for the Saints, to be quite honest with you. They're going to be looking forward to the Eagles next week. You know, they're coming off an impressive streak, beating the Ravens, the Vikings, and now the Rams. So, you know, this game has all the hallmark of a trap game. Now, I think the Saints are probably going to win, but the line is 5 points. So I would be backing the Bengals, even without AJ Green, because that comes into it with the points. I'll be backing the Cincinnati Bengals plus 5 points at home. I think the Saints will win, but they'll win by field goal or less.
Turning our attention then to the evening kickoff. I love this game. It's not the game I'm at, which, or me and Ollie and the crew are at. I'm surprised they're not showing the Oakland Raiders on TV again after what they did on Thursday Night Football last week. But Seahawks at Rams, because Seattle have kind of made themselves relevant since coming to London.
Yeah, I mean, I think we said this last week when we picked up that the Saints might beat the Rams. That I think that the Rams' defense, which is, you know, much talked about, they're flat track bullies. You know, Marcus Peters is becoming a little bit of a liability each week, and their linebackers are struggling against the run. You know, Goff and Gurley seem unstoppable, and I think that's going to continue this week. But, you know, Seattle, they should have won the game against the Chargers right at the end there. They were knocking on the door. Wilson's, you know, he's just brilliant, isn't he? He's the ultimate competitor, and as long as he's on the pitch. And I think what you've got to bear in mind, since Russell Wilson joined the Seahawks in 2012, they've lost only 3 games out of 116 by more than 10 points. I'm telling you now, back Seattle plus 10.
Ooh, here we go. So Seattle plus 10. We've then got in the evening game, this one's live on TalkSport. Me and Ollie will be doing updates from where we are into it. Ollie Wilson will have the comms. But Cowboys at Eagles. The Cowboys are an absolute shambles right now.
Yeah, I mean, Oakland had the worst performance of the week last week, and I think, you know, the Cowboys weren't far behind, were they? You know, they're a shambles. Their offensive line is struggling. Prescott seems to have no sort of awareness where the pressure's coming from. But on the flip side, the Dallas defense is playing well, and they tend to perform better at home, and they struggle against mobile quarterbacks like Newton, Mariota, and Smith. But, you know, Is Wentz, who's still coming back from his injury, as that mobile now. So I think they might still be able to make a closer game about it. You know, we're going to be excited to see how Golden Tate does for the offense, and is he going to add to Dallas's headache? But I think if the Titans can get 5 sacks against the Cowboys, Philly's front should harass Prescott all night. So I'm going to back Philly minus 6.5, which is a high line for me to back, because, you know, I don't like going over sort of 5 normally. So, yeah, but I would back Philly minus 6.5.
I'm taking it. I'm with you all the way. And then Monday Night Football is a game that we're going to be at. Nick Mullins against Eli Manning. Might not sound like prime time, but as we've said several times this season, games where two teams both aren't particularly good have thrown up some great games this year. So it's the Giants in San Francisco to face the 49ers on Monday Night Football.
Yes, first of all, you're a 49ers fan, so you're obviously talking this up, and you're going to the game. I think this is something, you know, I probably will do, because we'll have action on it, but I'm going to struggle to stay up through the early hours to watch this one, I've got to be honest. You know, Giants, you know, they're a team with so much talent, but yet it's not clicking. Is it the coaching? Is the coaching bad? You know, I don't know. I think both teams, they're pretty evenly matched, even with Mullins as quarterback. So what I would do is give San Francisco the edge with Carl Shanahan over Pat Shermer. I think probably, even though they're evenly matched, I do think Giants have got the more outstanding talent around the pitch. But I think that balances up, as I said. Niners should be feeling pretty good after, you know, winning last week, and I'm going to back them. I'm very worried about it, but I'm going to back them to San Francisco to win by 3 points or more. I think the thing to look out for is the battle between Beckham Jr. and Sherman. Sherman looks like he's fading a little bit. Odell Beckham Jr., I think that's perhaps worth your admission ticket alone there, Will.
Yeah, I think so too. Warren, brilliant stuff as always. Anything else we need to let people know about for this weekend?
Not for this weekend. If you're one of our clients, we're throwing, as usual, the biggest and best Thanksgiving party this year. So look out for that if you're a Red Zone client. We're changing our name, you should know, next few weeks. So we're going from redzonesports.bet to redzone.bet, just so it helps me with my spelling and my emails. But yeah, all good. So nothing special to tell you about apart from that.
Brilliant stuff, Warren, as always. Full terms and conditions at redzonesports.bet. Over 18s only. And please gamble responsibly.
Hazel Irvin here, and I'm at Mammoth Insurance in Leeds, where Kate has arranged an office chair race to fundraise for Sport Relief. And these riders have got their kit on. They are rearing to go. And they're off. Taking an early lead and smashing injustice right out of the park, it's Daphne from accounting riding the spreadsheet demon chair. Up comes Nina from HR on Beat Me and You're Fired, closely followed by Mark from marketing on the 9-to-5 chair. Even Javid from health and safety's at it, waving his clipboard like crazy. Go easy there, Javid. We don't want any injuries, fella. And from nowhere, it's Jenny on El Chero Loco, rolling right over poverty to cross the line first. And the crowd goes loco. Unbelievable. You can help change the world too. Just get your exclusive Sport Relief merchandise at Genera's Sainsbury's. Sport Relief. It's game on. This message was brought to you by Acast.